Turn with me in the Bible today to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. The title of our thought for this morning's worship hour is Overcoming the World's Peer Pressure. Overcoming the World's Peer Pressure. Proverbs, chapter 23, and verses 17 through 21. The wise man Solomon states, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags." The Scriptures declare that, with a warning, love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. For the things that are in the world are not of the Lord. And that thought is such that there is a constant warning that needs to be heeded, because the world has a constant pressure that it puts upon the child of God to conform to its morals and its ethical principles and values. This is particularly true as teenagers begin to face the issues of life, and they become aware of it sooner or later, of a desire to be accepted into the social group. And quite frequently, that group does not comprise the things of Christ and the people of Christ. But it does not stop when one graduates from high school, but it continues on. Maybe the pressure in a marriage union of a Christian with a non-Christian. There may be pressure on the job, having to work with people who do not share your ethical values and consideration. And the constant pressure is there. Conform, conform, conform. This morning I'd like to give you some principles of how to overcome this peer pressure that is found in people, events, and things that are around us all the time. For it is not just people that tempt us and pressure us. It is also things in this life. Materialism, getting of goods. It can also be events that we anticipate are going to occur or are occurring in our lives on a regular basis. These can break down our moral standards and our commitment to Christ. And I'd like to give you some principles from this section of Scripture as to how the Scripture can enable us to overcome the peer pressure that this world puts upon us. First, I see in verse 17, "Be very careful what you admire." Be careful of what or who you admire. Look at the text, "Let not thine heart envy sinners." You will become like that which you admire. What you respect and look up to, you will be conformed to that. And the text gives a warning to not become envious of sinners, those who are living lives that are not centered on the glorifying of God and of His holy commandments. Look over in Psalm chapter 73, and here is a whole chapter devoted by a man by the name of Asaph, giving his testimony as to what happened to him as a believer when he began to look out upon people who do not profess faith in God and who do not govern themselves by the principles of Holy Scripture. And Ahab began to look at that, and he began to compare his own life, began to see how difficult a life he was having to live, and it appeared that those who did not govern themselves by the principles of God had it easy. And he said he almost slipped and almost went away from the Lord. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. There's Israel for you, a good biblical definition. Those who are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was what? Envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Here Asaph is confessing that he became guilty of what Solomon is warning us about in our text this morning. As he looked out upon the wicked, he could see that in verse 5, they're not in trouble as other men. They're not plagued like other men. In verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They're prospering. Verse 8, they're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. That is, they're opposed to God. They speak openly against God and His name and against the ways of God, and they seem to be getting by with it all the time. They even say in verse 11, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Is there really a God who knows all things? Then he would say in verse 13, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. He said, when I compare the way that my life is going with the life of the wicked, it appears that I'm on the losing side. What turned Asaph's understanding around? In verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. Asaph said, when I began to understand where the wicked are headed, they're headed for destruction, just like on a slippery slope, and they cannot turn around. He said, when I considered that understanding, then it set my feet back on a solid ground. May I encourage you that are listening to me this morning, whether you be a teenager or whether you be 80 or 90 years of age, as long as you're in this world, you will be exposed to peer pressure to conform your standards and conform your principles to the things of the world. Be careful of what you admire. Who you admire. Who are your role models in life? Is it some celebrity? Is it some athletic personage? Does that individual exemplify the things of Christ? Do you want to be like them in all the way in which that they live? Think back of a famous basketball player, still alive, Wilt Chamberlain, Wilt the Stilt. Everybody should be familiar with that expression, Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain. How many have looked unto him as an example and have admired him as a basketball player? And yet in his book, he blazingly, openly boasts of having physical relations with over 20,000 women in his lifetime. You know, is that someone to admire? Be careful, even you young people with your rock stars, with the music which they play. Say, well, what's wrong with the music? Look at the lifestyles of the ones who play it. See what goes with it. Satanism, the occult, drugs, immorality. Be careful of what you admire, because the Bible says you will become like that which you admire. That's why if you admire the Lord Jesus Christ, you will become like Him. But if you have no taste for Him and His lifestyle, then you will not become like Him. You will become anti-Christ. You will imitate and seek after that which is in direct contradiction to the lifestyle and the example which Christ set while He was here. Be careful of whom and what you admire. Let not thine heart envy sinners. But in verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. We've seen that in Psalm 73. Your hope, that's what the expectation is, your hope shall not be disappointed if it is in the Lord and in the things of Christ. Now secondly, to help us overcome the pressures of the world, we not only should be very careful of who and what we admire, but secondly, in verse 17, we ought to examine our thoughts constantly as to what goes through our mind. Look at it. Be thou in the fear of the Lord how long? All day long. Not just when you go to church on Sunday, and then you think about things for a couple of hours, and then church is over, and you go back into the things of the secular world, and your thoughts are there no more about God. All day long, our thoughts are to be governed by the principles of God. We are exhorted to pray always, pray without ceasing, to always have our thoughts and our minds governed by the principles of God's Word. Paul says in the book of Philippians, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. How frequently our thoughts wander off into areas which would not be pleasing unto the Lord. Govern your thoughts. Examine your thoughts constantly. Be in the fear of the Lord all day long, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about is what you will ultimately practice and will come to pass in your external manifestation. Thirdly, verse 19, accept responsibility for guiding the affairs of your heart. We read there, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Now this is not excluding the dependence upon God to guide our hearts. It is our hearts, if we understand them, they're desperately wicked, and who can know them? And this is not talking about a cooperation between God and ourselves. But it is as God guides our lives, we also are held responsible for guiding our life. It's what is known as concurrence. Two things going on at the same time. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. That's not a cooperative thing, but it is a concurrent thing. That while I am responsible to guide my thoughts and the intents of my hearts and the ways of God, I cannot do that in and of myself. But God does it in me. So I am held accountable. That means then that simply that I am to be in the Word. I am to be in communion with God. I think about Him all the day long in my thoughts. And I assume responsibility for what I think about and consider. I cannot say the devil made me do it. Usually the person who sloughs that off is the person who has not been acting responsibly in the guiding of the affairs of their life. "Hear, my son, and be wise," Solomon would say. If you would escape the peer pressure of being conformed to the world and its standards, then you be careful what you admire. You examine your thoughts constantly as you go through the day, and when something is said or an event takes place, then ask yourself this question: what would Jesus say? What would He do? How would He act, and how would He react in this circumstance? And expose yourself to His teachings, and you shall learn wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of Me, God says, and I give to all men liberally. Seek that wisdom, and you shall be guided in your inner man in the ways of God. Next, in verse 20, to escape the world's peer pressure and to stand against it and be a victorious individual, choose the right company that you associate with. Notice that the text says in verse 20, "Be not among winebibbers and riotous eaters of flesh." Now we have a choice of who we associate with. It is not always the case, like on the workforce. There we're put in the presence of people whom perhaps that if we had a choice, we would not choose to associate with. But we have a choice with whom we make our close companions. And the warning is to avoid making companions of those who are winebibbers and riotous eaters of flesh, which that means a gluttonous person. Now don't go off on the emphasis. Well, here the scripture then is saying, stay away from wine and stay away from food. The emphasis in the text here is that these are undisciplined people. They do not control themselves with wine or what they eat. They're always overindulging themselves in everything that they do. And a person that is like that, you can soon learn, is only thinking primarily about one person in life. Who is that? The self. And that is not the kind of person that you want to make a close companion with. Because you begin thinking along the same line. Be very, very cautious in choosing the right company. That's why that when a person is seeking out after a wife or a husband, how important it is to make a proper choice. You marry someone who is undisciplined, uncommitted, who does not serve others but only lives for their own belly's sake, their own self-advantage and their self-gain, you'll have a cross to bear in that union that you make with that type of an individual. Are you seeking a wife? Read Proverbs chapter 31, which gives us the description of a good wife. See what she does. Seeking a husband? Read the descriptions of a good man in the book of Proverbs. And look for that type of a person. Because who you choose is going to have a pressure put on you to conform to their values. Think about that very carefully, my hearers, whether you're a teenager, middle-aged, or elderly, wherever you fit in life, the people that you associate with is going to affect the way you think and the way you act. Birds of a feather do flock together. That's of natural course. And people who are self-centered will seek out after self-centered people. Be careful of the company that you choose. And lastly, verse 21, remember the consequences or the rewards of sin. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness or laziness shall clothe a man with rags. Do you see in verse 21 how it interprets verse 20? Who is a wine bibber? It's a drunkard, one who has indulged excessively in wine. Who is a riotous eater of flesh? It's one who is a glutton. One who does not discipline themselves. Is food good? Certainly it is. Can it be abused? Certainly it can. And a person who is undisciplined shall ultimately suffer the consequences because of that. They shall be brought to poverty. And we see that all the time around us. Laziness shall clothe a man with rags. It's difficult in our day and age, I suppose it's always been, but it's difficult today to try to carry out the mandate of the Lord to help the poor and to help the needy and determine who's truly poor and who's needy and who's truly just brought these things on themselves by improper living. We have people all the time that come to us as a church asking for assistance and help. And it's difficult because they have good stories they can tell. Very, very good stories. We've heard enough in the years that we've just spent here. One of these days, maybe I'll write a book on the stories that people tell. What they go through. We've had a man who's come with us a few times here in our midst, and he's always wanting some assistance. And his standards are, he not only is in need, but he spells it out in detail what he wants. Remember the first time he came into the church, he asked if I could help him. I said, what did you need? He said, I need a chicken. Well, I thought that's pretty particular. I need a chicken. I said, well, you need some groceries then, so we'll take you down here to the grocery store and you can get you a chicken. No, 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 sir. I need church's chicken. And he spelled out that he wanted a certain kind of chicken. It had to be fried chicken, not Colonel Sanders, it had to be church's chicken. And so he gave us a long story then. I think we gave him $10 or something to go get him some chicken. He came back about an hour later offended, said his wife needed some Pampers for the children. And I got upset at that time and sent him on his way. Told him not to come back anymore. Well, he's been back a couple of more times in our midst the last couple of years. And every time he's got a story to tell. We helped him again here about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And about 3 days after we helped him was that on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night? It had to be, it was on an evening, wasn't it? It had to be on a Wednesday evening, he came in to the church service here. Said he'd contacted AIDS now and couldn't hold a job. His family needed some help. So we were going to take him down and get him some groceries. He said, no, I need some church's chicken. Have you ever had a job? Yeah, I used to have a job, but I've had an emotional breakdown. Can't work anymore. A couple of days later, I was taking my son's pickup over to Mrs. Parrott's to haul some wood that she didn't want away. And coming back, I was pulling out, getting ready to go get back on the interstate. I looked at the ramp there. There was about 5 cars coming down, having to stop at the bottom of the ramp. And who do you think was there? Well, I was there at the stoplight. It was Jeffrey, our church's chicken man. And I was sitting there at the light waiting here for it to turn. He was right over here hitting each one of those cars. And they'd roll down the window. Could you help me? I need some church's chicken. Still going after church's chicken. Now, where is that man at in his life? If you would trace his life back, you would find the things that I'm talking about right here this morning. has caught up with him, and he shall come to poverty, and drowsiness or laziness shall clothe a person with rags. Now you consider that when you begin to admire ungodly people as your idols. You consider that when you let your thoughts daily run at random and never be governed by the holy principles of God's Word. You consider that when the Scriptures hold you accountable for guiding your heart in the ways of God. You consider that when you choose the company whom you associate with on a close basis. And remember that the end result is going to come to poverty. You say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. I know people who live ungodly all of their lives. They can turn God's name blue or the air blue with using the name of God in vain. They spend their money, and yet they don't seem to have any problems at all. They never come to poverty. They die, and they never seem to have a problem in life. Ah, but let me, if I could, pull the curtain back and show you where they're at right now, and you ask me if they've come to poverty. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If a person lives their life not Christ-centered, they're going to become impoverished either in temporal values or in eternal values. And all that they may have lived in the lifestyle of the rich and the famous shall be taken away from them, and they shall have to spend eternity impoverished in a lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone, cast into outer darkness with not a single friend, not a single drop of water to satisfy their physical needs, but have to bear the wrath of God Almighty throughout all eternity to come. Folks, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For these things are perishing, but he that does the will of God shall abide forever. Lay hold of these standards this morning. Be careful of whom you admire. Examine your thoughts. Bring them into captivity to the teachings of Christ. Choose the right people to associate with. And remember the rewards of sin. Be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. I wonder if we had someone like Magic Johnson to come into our service today, what that text would mean to him, whether it has any bearing on his life. Successful in his profession, and yet lived a loose lifestyle, and now has contracted an incurable disease which shall take his life if he does not die in some other fashion. The wages of sin, what is it? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These are some simple ways to avoid this pressure that seeks to control us and come in upon us and destroy us. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Let us stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that on this holiday weekend, which that so many are forgetting you, the liberties which you have blessed us with as a nation. I pray that we might have our thoughts centered on you, those of us which are present this morning, that we might admire you and your Son in the gospel, that our hearts might be guided toward an affection for you, that we might choose our company to be that composed of Christian people, that we might remember the rewards of sin and the rewards of righteousness. Bless this message today and make it effectual in the lives of the hearers. For it's in the name of your Son we pray. Amen.